Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Let's bring in Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. You know, Mike, for years we worked with former wide receiver Derek Mason. We got to know D-Mace very, very well. And I used to always warn him about being in this business and you don't want to get radio butt. And he was like, what's radio butt? And then I would take him on Radio Row and I'd say, look at that guy. That's radio butt. Look at this guy. You know, just talking about don't let all the free food that you get, you know, that comes with radio and television, and you know, you got to keep working out, man. Well, he took that to heart. And listen to your conversation this morning with Chris. It's clear why you're fit. I mean, I did not know there was that much conversation about apples, but you certainly took apples to a different level today. So kudos to you.
Well, what happened was there was a day not that long ago that for whatever reason I explained that the apple slicer is the greatest invention south of the wheel itself, and it's shaped like a wheel, which makes it appropriate. And one of the folks in the control room recognized that it was, and still is, there's still time left. It's National Eat a Red Apple Day, and I'm glad they included Eat a in the title, because I otherwise wouldn't know what to do with the apple if it was just National Red Apple Day. I wouldn't be quite sure what I'm supposed to do in honor of the, you know, Red Apple Day. But we had some fun with that. And that's what happens on a day when there isn't a lot going on. Whatever they tee us up with right out of the gates, and we never know what it's going to be before we sit down. It's all cold and new and fresh. Sometimes we'll talk about it for 2 minutes. Sometimes we'll talk about it for 20 minutes. It just depends on what else is going on. And fortunately or unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot else going on today.
Well, I learned something, you know, Fuji and Honeycrisp. I mean, I'm not very smart, so I just look at apples. I'm like red or green, you know. So I learned something. I'm trying to give you a compliment. Good stuff.
I just had a Fuji apple, and it was awesome. Let me tell you, it's filling. It's low calorie. It's got a lot of fiber, which as you get on the wrong side of 50 is a good thing to ingest. And, yeah, nice. I eat at least one every day and sometimes two.
So an apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's, you know, going back a ways, that's saying. But he's bringing it back up. I like it.
He is.
The Fuji.
He is. And looking at our
rate. Two does.
What does two do? The doctor and who else?
Too many apples creates a problem. So I don't know what the over-under is on too many apples, but I don't do more than two.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, is that viewed
moderation.
Excessive? Is that
apple
viewed
moderation.
Excessive?
Yes.
Give us the outsider's perspective. As you can imagine, we've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of years. Most all of it's been very good, very flattering. This year, different story. A lot of conversations about Ryan Tannehill. He's not having a very good year. 14 touchdown passes to 13 picks. He has looked very pedestrian at times, and at times it has looked below average. And I get it. The best running back in the league hasn't been available for the last four games and will not be available the rest of the regular season. What do you make of Ryan Tannehill?
Well, he also doesn't consistently have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, which is part of the problem as well. And I think that he's one of these guys that there's always going to be people who think he's better than he is, and there's always going to be people who think he's worse than he is. And I think that group is probably larger than the former. And it's a narrative that got attached to him during his time with Miami. I think he's done a very good job of pivoting into this new reality. He had the comeback player of the year season a couple of years back in his first year with the Titans. And he got contracted, frankly, when you line it all up, apples to apples, no pun intended there, but when you do line it up and compare it to some of the other big contracts that were done at or about the same time, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, his deal was actually better in many respects. So he's got a great contract and he's done a great job. And yeah, he's hit a rough spot now, but when there's no talent around you, or at least when the talent around you isn't what you're accustomed to and not among some of the best players in football, it's going to be a problem. So I don't put a lot of it on him. And now that we have the bye week, you know, this is the great opportunity with that late bye. This is the perfect chance to do some self-diagnosis, to figure out where things need to change. I talked to Joe Burrow after this Steelers game where the Bengals just completely destroyed them. And he told me that during the bye week, you know, he looked in the mirror and he said, yeah, I've fallen in love with the big play and I need to get away from that. So hopefully Ryan Tannehill, with the assistance of the coaching staff, is taking this week to figure out where he can improve to to help the team better win within the boundaries that he has. You got to color within the lines of the help that you have. What can he do to help the team continue to win and build momentum again and carry it into the postseason?
We had this conversation yesterday, and in fact, it was a really good conversation about what is the top seed's record. What is, you know, everybody, because the one seed is important now. I mean, with this extra layer of playoffs, to only one team in each conference, and they're going to get a bye, and I think that's a big deal. It would be especially a big deal for the Titans if they could find a way to do that. But we were talking about, like, what's the record going to be of the one seed? So I'm just going to ask you, what do you think? How many wins do you think you need in the AFC side to get the one seed in the bye?
Well, the challenge this year is it's the first time we have 17 games, and that
right.
changes everything. It changes it on the back end. How many losses are too many? Is it eight? Is it nine? Is somebody going to get the seventh seed with an 8-9 record? There's this a mad scramble in both conferences for those last couple spots, and we don't know when it's going to be too many. And how many losses is too many to not be the number one seed? You know, is somebody going to go 13-4? I don't know. I is it going to come down to a cluster of teams at 15 and 12-5? Is the math is hard generally, but going from 16-17 has just destroyed me. 12-5. Will there be three or four teams at 12-5 and tiebreakers that will determine who the one seed is? There isn't a dominant team in either conference, and I know the Cardinals are 9-2, but we just kind of keep waiting for them to come back down to earth, and maybe they won't. But one thing about this year that I've noticed, we've got teams that are on roller coasters where they have, you know, a great start, and then they hit a rough spot, and then they turn it around again, and then they hit another rough spot, and it's all going to come down to who can get hot at the right time and carry that and sustain it into January. And we're not going to know. I mean, this is Pete Rozelle's dream come true. He hated it back in the 70s when it was the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Cowboys who ran everything. And now you've got maximum teams that are alive. And it makes it hard for us. So, you know, and I'm not answering your question because I just don't know. But
no.
I'd like to think that 12-5 will get it done. But you may have to win a convoluted tiebreaker at 12-5 to get it done.
Yeah, and that's kind of what started the conversation. We kind of felt the same way. But if you go and you look, and this would be maybe something you can do after this interview or when you get time later, to look at like the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Ravens and the Titans, all these teams that could be vying for that spot, and look at their remaining schedule. It's hard to come up with a team that you think is going to finish 12-5. And I know it's, you know, you're just looking at it on paper, but, man, it is not easy sledding. In fact, we kind of, you know, looked at it and said, even though the 49ers are playing better and the Dolphins are playing better and the Steelers is at Pittsburgh in mid-December, the Titans probably still have, you know, the easiest schedule of everybody else, but they got other issues to worry about.
Yeah, and with the talent so compressed among the teams, and it's all driven by matchups now, and are you going to have your best players available, and when will that vague lightning bolt of a COVID positive strike and knock a player out when you really need to have him play, all of those different considerations. And then there's the ever-present possibility of a horse crap call that we see from time to time. I'm writing something right now about the inconsistencies with roughing the passer. Or nothing
oh
the passer, as Chris Sims calls it. But, you know, I have joked in the past that they should just treat roughing the passer like roughing the kicker. Because then it's completely clear what is and isn't allowed. And I'm not joking about it as much as I used to, because a lot of these crews seem to be treating roughing the passer like roughing the kicker. That if you dare to hit the quarterback at any point after the ball's out of his hands, we're going to throw the flag. Okay, well, then make that the rule across the board so it's consistent, if that's what the case is going to be. That's the one thing that drives me crazy about the NFL. The application of some of these rules is not done consistently, and if they could just do it consistently, at least fans would understand what's expected, players would know what's required, coaches would know what to tell their players, but there's so many of these fouls this year that are crapshoot and roughing the passers at the top of the list.
Mark Florio is with us from NBC and Pro Football Talk, and You just hit on something with me with officials. Do you think, and we've seen some coaches be a little more outspoken. You know, for a long time, it's, you know, well, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get the fine. We've seen a little bit more of that. We've seen some players, and it's got to be the right player. Like, if it's, you know, just some third-string guy that says something, that's not going to make a difference. If it's Tom Brady, people are going to listen. Do you think if there's more of that, that the NFL will actually put more they will address officiating more and actually try to make it better?
Combination of internal and external pressure, and we've been doing a segment each of the last three Wednesdays that we call After Further Review, where we have a roundup of however many calls we can fit into the segment that require criticism, explanation, whatever the case may be. And I was encouraged by a general manager of one team to do it with the explanation that if there's enough external, there's pressure internally, it all comes together, and it's going to force 345 Park Avenue to do something about it. Because I think the attitude is, why do we need to do anything about it? Why do we need to spend more money, spend more time, make the officials full-time, pay for a sky judge who would serve as a member of the officiating crew in a booth, seeing all of the camera angles we see at home and bridging that huge gap between what we see and what the officials who are out there among the gladiators see? Why bother? Why do we need to do it? Because it's not like there's an alternative pro football league that somebody is going to turn to. And this is one of the things that happens when there's no competition. You have complacency. Well, I submit that the NFL needs to do it because as legalized gambling continues to spread and spread and spread, the stakes are higher when it comes to the integrity of the outcome and the integrity of the wagers. And they need to show that they care. They need to act like they care. They already have Congress chasing them around over the Washington football team investigation. It's just a matter of time before Congress is going to be chasing them around about the quality of the officiating and whether or not they have a Tim Donaghy problem, which they don't yet, but they could at some point. And the last thing that they should want is an environment where Congress creates a federal agency that is charged with regulating professional sports in America, like the Securities and Exchange Commission that regulates the stock trade. You know, that agency didn't exist before the crash of 1929. It takes something like that to get Congress to make a big change, and the NFL would be wise to get its affairs in order when it comes to officiating before there's some big scandal that will make it something that Congress has to act on immediately.
I think that is a fantastic point, Mike, because, you know, you see on Twitter, we all make the joke of, oh, the ref has the over, or the ref has the under, or, oh, the ref has this team 3.5 or whatever, and yes, it's said in jest, but if it's said a lot, especially with, even though gambling is now that it's mainstream and it's not taboo anymore, there's still, I mean, it's not far removed from that. So, I mean, you still got to be very, very careful with it as we enter this new frontier. So I think you make a very good point with that.
It has gone from being something that the league viewed as a pariah to something that the league is sharing a mattress with. When you see the commercials, proud partner of the National Football League, all these sports books, there are seven of them that have business relationships with the NFL. By the end of the decade, one of the executives at the league office said earlier this year they expect to make $1 billion from their gambling partnerships. That is literally money for nothing. They are doing nothing more than what they otherwise would be doing to get that extra $1 billion, and they need to redirect some of that cash. And you're right. Look, there are people out there who believe the fix is in, and I think the fix has never been in and will never be in as it relates to the league wanting a certain team to win the Super Bowl or win a given game. But I do think that they need to be concerned about the possibility of specific officials wanting to engineer a certain outcome if they get corrupted in some way, the way that Tim Donaghy did. The fact that it happened in basketball means it can happen elsewhere. And as more and more money gets pumped into this from a gambling perspective, the incentive to corrupt someone, the incentive to try to engineer a result a certain way, is only going to increase.
Before I pass it on to Willie, I know you have a book coming out March 15th, Playmakers. You can pre-order that now, but tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, I've been running PFT for 20 years now, and as we were trying to craft an idea for a way that I could write about the way the NFL actually operates and ways that it doesn't operate the way that it should, what we decided to do was basically go back over the last 20 years and draw out major events, scandals, crazy things that happened, trends that have developed, and different things that provide a template. Very short chapters written in the style that we write on the website, and there's over 110 10, I'd say, of these individual examples over the last 20 years that when you kind of piece it together in categories, you can draw from it an understanding of how the NFL actually works and where the NFL needs to improve. And the entire last section of the book is focused on issues like what we're discussing now as we go forward in this era of gambling, improving the officiating, embracing the sky judge, being very careful about how inside information is handled as it relates to injuries. Or, for example, the whiteboard in the coach's room that has the first 15 plays scripted on it that are coming up for that Sunday. Who has access to that? And who tells a cousin, a friend, so that Alvin Kamara is going to get the ball, you know, five of the first seven times that the Saints run the ball? So if you're going to, you know, if you've got some prop bet on Alvin Kamara's output, maybe you want to, you know, maybe you want to bet that or something along those lines. I mean, there's sensitive information that can be used by gamblers, and that's just another example of one of the themes that we hit on as the NFL moves forward into an area where they can make a ton of money, but they can get themselves into a bunch of problems.
Mike Florio is on with us. Outstanding stuff. Pro Football Talk and, of course, Football Night in America. He's got the book that is out or coming out. You can pre-order it right now. Playmakers is the name of it. And, Mike, speaking of inside info regarding injuries, all of us would love to know what's going on behind the scenes with Derrick Henry in the process here. There are some that are like, well, probably out for the year. Others are a little bit more optimistic. You're a guy that knows some people. Have you heard any level of optimism on whether he could be back in January, so to speak?
Haven't heard optimism or pessimism about it. He's got that Jones fracture, and you just want to be sure that he's good to go. You don't want him to come back and re-injure it, and then he spends his entire offseason rehabbing it, working on it, and then you have to wonder when is he going to be 100% again for 2022. So there's been nothing specific yet. You know, it's amazing. No matter how big the star player is, once the guy's gone, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and we just focus on the guys who are playing, and that's kind of how it's been with Derrick Henry. But there is that vague sense that maybe he could come back. I think it's too early to know for sure, but the longer they stay alive beyond week 18, you know, the greater the chance. And at some point, I think we'll all, as a news gathering perspective, pivot to that and try to figure out exactly when we may see him again. And it's, yeah, it's looking like it's a given the Titans are going to be in the playoffs, although who the hell knows this season. But maybe once they clinch, we'll start seeing some Sunday splash reports on when and if Derrick Henry is going to be back this season.
Last thing for you, Mike, another one that is difficult to answer, but I'm just wondering if you've got any insight on it, just from your outside perspective. Julio Jones, it seems like even going back to last year, it's the same issue. It's a hamstring that he just can't get right. So looking forward, he's on injured reserve. I think they're hopeful he'll come back eventually here, and maybe you get a good version down the stretch. But given the fact that there was such a headliner move when they went for him, so what's your thought about how this is progressing? Why can't he get this hamstring right?
Well, you know, this was one of the issues in Atlanta and why at the end of the day they were willing to move on from him. They don't get full performance. They don't get maximum return on the significant investment that was made. And I know some of the teams out there, when Julio Jones was available, and they made it known he was available, and he was available for a while, and there was not a land rush for his contract. There's a concern that after this season, he's going to want more money. Now, if he doesn't have the numbers when the dust settles on the season to justify it, his requests are going to fall on deaf ears. But the Falcons dealt with it for a couple of years before they gave him the contract that made him the highest paid receiver in football. And I think that it's not going to be long before the Titans are dealing with that. And maybe it's good for them that he's not having a gigantic year this year, because that would be the A topic for them in the offseason, what they're going to do about the huge raise that Julio Jones would want. He still may want a raise anyway, but if he was having like an all-pro season, he would really want to jack that salary up to a higher level.
Yes, definitely some important decisions with the cap that the team has. Mike, thanks a lot for your time. Best of luck with the book, and I know it's going to be great. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. The book is Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. You can pre-order it now. Just go to Pro Football Talk on Twitter. You can get all the info there. So when we come back, we've got some things to talk about.
Including
Mike always gives
10.
Us some things. And we've got our top 10 in the NFL this week. Good luck. with that. Chase, you have a word.
Yes, I do. Let me tell you about BetMGM, because I love talking. We talk about sports betting with Mike Florio, so what a better segue. You can get your payout before the game's out with BetMGM. All you have to do is place a moneyline wager on any Thursday night football game, and if your team is up by 10 or more points at the half, you will be a winner. That's a full payout for only half the game. It's that simple. No matter what happens the rest of the way, that's what's crazy about it. Simply go to your BetMGM account and opt in each week to the Thursday night halftime payout promotion. If you want to continue wagering in the third quarter, well, you can. Keep it rolling with BetMGM's extensive live betting options. If you need to hit the sack early, use your winnings to place a one-game parlay on Sunday and go for gridiron glory. If you're new to BetMGM, just download the app today and see how you can turn halftime into cash time. Make a moneyline bet on Thursday night, and if your team is up by 10 or more, you'll win at the half. It's only at BetMGM. Opt-in required. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Good stuff there from Mike Florio, NBC and Pro Football Talk. Hey, go to thegamenashville.com/deals and check out Nashville's best deals. Deals include half-off gift cards to these locations: Nashville Armory, Brooklyn Bowl, Nashville, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, Fat Cat Slim's in the Gulch. You can get your deals right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. All right, it's going into week 13. I'm going to be honest. I struggled this week. I really.
Me too.
Why wouldn't you?
I really had a hard time.
I set up a dartboard, if I'm just being completely honest.
Yeah, I scratched things out and put a name above it, and then scratched it out and put a team in there, and then I scratch. I mean, it just. I don't know. I didn't feel good past my top three. After my top three,
yep.
I was just like, oh, boy.
Well, top five. I mean, I felt okay with top five, but
I didn't. I didn't at all. Top three. And that's where I was just like, after that, I wanted to just get a dartboard out because it felt that way. So with that being said, it is time to go into week 13. Of course, this is the Titans bye week. Last week, we all three had Arizona number one. Does anybody still have Arizona number one?
I do.
You do.
I kept them at number one.
Arizona was in a bye week, so they didn't do anything.
Yep.
You kept them number one. Okay. You're the only one that spoke up, so that means
I've got them at number one. I've got them also at number one.
Oh, okay. So both of you kept Arizona one. I get it. Why would they fall if they were in a bye week? I understand that. But they fell.
I considered it.
My love for Green Bay. I've been telling you guys all season, Green Bay is the real deal. And what do? They just keep winning, and they keep beating good teams, and they beat another good team. And I've got them number one. I mean, they're 9-3. I've been saying it. I've been very consistent with Green Bay. They've been high above my board, higher than anybody else's all season. And I'm not – right now, there's no reason for me to change that. I've got Green Bay one.
You have. You should be getting your Aaron Rodgers wig and facial hair kit. I had that sent to your house, so that should be coming in soon.
Cool. Be in a State Farm commercial.
Yes. Discount double check. That's you. Yeah.
I think he's not really doing that anymore.
Well, no, it's
moved on to the.
It's the Rodgers plan. Him and Mahomes.
Yeah.
I like those. They're funny.
Hey, Rodgers.
Rodgers.
I still think that's the best one.
The cheesehead guy.
Oh, the Najee guy screaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. I agree. I thought personally, discount double check commercials were way better than the latest batch of commercials.
I agree.
Way better. I find, quite honestly, just honest opinion, the new commercials boring.
I agree.
That's just me. But I've got Green Bay one.
Okay, so Willie and I have Arizona. You have Green Bay.
Okay, so we were pretty boring last week. We all had Arizona 1 last week. Two of the three keep Arizona 1. I did not. We all had Tampa number 2 last week, so we were all boring with our first two. Does anybody still have Tampa 2?
I do. Tampa 2.
See what I did there?
That was good. That was good. Yes, I'm running the Tampa 2 as well.
So we all 3 had Tampa remaining at 2.
Yep.
Okay. Makes sense.
So full disclosure, my top 3 didn't change from last week to this week.
So you have Green Bay 3.
I have Green Bay 3. So Arizona, Tampa, Green Bay.
Okay. I had Arizona 3, so yeah. We have the same teams.
So you took them 1-3.
I had Green Bay, right. Yeah, I just flopped. I had Green Bay, I moved them from 3-1, Arizona from 1-3, and Tampa stayed at 2. So, Willie, you've remained consistent. I had Green Bay 3 last week. Chase had Green Bay 3. You had Dallas 3. I suspect, I'm going to go on a limb, you don't have Dallas 3 anymore.
He probably has the Colts 3 still.
I do not have the Colts 3, nor do I have Dallas 3. Green Bay's 3, no question.
Oh, okay. You're starting to come around. It was like the Rams last year. You're coming around now, finally.
Not really. I had Green Bay 3 2 weeks ago. I dropped them to 4, put them back at 3.
Yeah, but at least still, we've been doing this for like 6 weeks.
Well, they're at 3. What do you want? Yeah. They're 3.
I want you to, give the pack their respects.
They're number 3.
Okay.
I like them.
All right. Now, this is where you said top 5, Chase. I'm just telling you, this is where I felt like I just went – I went off the grid. I'm not comfortable with it, but it is, as they say, what it is. I couldn't make up my mind. I'm changing things left and right, and I'm still not comfortable with what I have 4 through 10, but we're doing it, so – who wants to lead off with 4?
I'm very comfortable with my 4.
I'm very comfortable.
I go with the Chiefs.
You go Kansas City 4.
Dun, 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 dun. That's what I hear right now.
You have the Sharks?
Jaws.
You have the Sharks at 4?
No, I have the Chiefs because I think that's what they are. I think they are a shark in the water circling. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, the Kansas City Sharks.
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not comfortable with this because I still don't think they're great. I think there's a lot to like, but I'm still not completely sold on them yet. I'm going to need to see these next 3 games. But they've won 6 in a row, and they have the number 1 defense, and Mac Jones is dinking and dunking everybody, which is fine because he's not turning the ball over. Titans have 9 turnovers in 2 weeks. How has that worked out for them? Mac Jones doesn't turn the ball over. They're not turning the ball over. I have New England 4. I had the Patriots 8 last week. I've moved them all the way up to 4. Willie, you had Kansas City 5, so you moved them up a spot. Chase, you had Kansas City 7, so you moved them up 3 spots.
Yes.
I did have the Chiefs 5. I did have them at 5, but...
So you and I have basically just flip-flopped because I have the Pats 5. You left out the most important thing. I mean, Belichick has moved on from the cutoff hoodie to the T-shirt with a jacket.
The Fonz. So the Fonz
look. He's
got
the Fonz look.
Yeah.
No, the Fonz was cool. There's nothing about Bill Belichick when it comes to clothes or style that's cool.
Except for the shirt. It's the same shirt.
Yeah.
He stole the Fonz's shirt.
But he doesn't look cool in it.
No, of course not. He doesn't look cool in anything.
He looked like he just got off his couch and put a jacket on.
It's hilarious.
He looks like?
He rolled out of bed, and he's like, well, I wore this shirt last night. I'll just throw my jacket on.
I'm going to give you an old reference because, we really don't do this anymore. But there was a time and a place when you did do this every morning. He looks like a guy that went out the morning of that game against the Titans and was getting his mail and the newspaper.
Yes.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
And he just wandered on over to over to Gillette Stadium. That's what he looks like.
He does.
I agree with that.
And I love the fact that he just doesn't care, and the jacket was open. Like, if he had the jacket zipped up and you could only see a little bit of the T-shirt, then you'd be like, okay.
And the T-shirt was tucked in.
But he's got the jacket wide open.
It's got the tucked-in T-shirt. And it's not even like a Derek Mason, $75 T-shirt. Like, this is probably one that, like an undershirt.
Cheap. Yeah, it looked pretty cheap. It might have been
the bacon net going.
Yeah, it might have been like you know, the material. What do you call that? The dry fit. Maybe
dry
it
fit.
Was that. Maybe.
I didn't look like dry fit.
Yeah,
but the dad bod was exposed.
You know what?
Big time.
Is that a dad
dry
bod?
Fit makes sense.
Grandfather
Late November
bod?
In Foxborough. Dry fit. Yeah, that's appropriate. Yeah, there you go, Bill. Dry fit in late November in Foxborough. Sure. For all those sweaty moments on the sidelines. And, oh, by the way, his big, thick coat on. So I move Kansas City from 7 last week up to 5. Chase, you moved the Patriots from 6 to 5. Who did you have at 5, Willie?
Dallas. I have Dallas at 5.
Oh, still sticking with Chase's Cowboys. Yeah, they're not. They didn't look good. They lost to the Raiders.
So they'll be all right.
Okay.
They're still a good team.
They did not look good. Dak looked great, but they did not look good.
No. That's they didn't. I mean, I get it. They got issues. They got injuries. You know, I mean, that's what we talk about here. Everybody's got injuries. I know we think it's only the Titans, but they got injuries, and they got COVID, and they got issues going on. So,
you get called for 4 pass interference penalties, the same DB.
Well, and there's that.
Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, listen, I have him 6, since we're talking about it.
I dropped him. Dallas 6?
Yeah, I dropped him 6.
I also have Dallas 6.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, I thought it was great, his press conference. He's like, we had 120 yards in penalties. What the hell you want me to say? you tell me. What the hell am I supposed to say to that? And he's right.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what it was. So I dropped him to 6.
I, too, dropped him to 6.
But Dak is awesome.
Like, I had him 4 last week. You had him 4. We both dropped him to 6.
For Dak to do to almost win that game, and if they don't get that last pass interference penalty, they probably do win that game. But for Dak to bring them back and do what they did without his top 2 receivers and a running back that's hurt is pretty amazing.
Well, he's an upper tier quarterback.
Oh, he's elite.
He's in the upper echelon.
He's elite.
So, yeah, because he doesn't. He's going to make anybody look good. I mean, look who he was throwing to.
Yeah,
Cedric Wilson was his top receiver.
Yeah, and he got banged up. Michael Gallup.
That's who, and he's still throwing for a zillion yards and putting 33 points up.
Yeah.
All right, Willie, who did you have at 6?
Patriots, obvious at 6. And I arguably should have had them higher, but I'm still a little skeptical about their ceiling, but they're just rock solid. So I've got them at 6. And the Cowboys beat them in New England, so I can't overlook that.
They did. Close game. But that was some time ago. And I do wonder if they were playing this week. If they were playing in Foxborough this week, because Dallas was the favorite in that game, New England would be the favorite. Would they
not?
No
doubt.
Maybe probably a 2, 2.5-point favorite in that game?
No doubt.
I guess depending on the injuries for Dallas, maybe even a 3-point favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. Okay. I have the Titans at 7, so I moved them from 5 down to 7. I mean, you got to go down. You've lost 2 in a row, and you haven't looked good doing it, and I get it. We know all the circumstances involved, but you've also turned the ball over 9 times, and you're not creating any turnovers. You're barely generating any sacks anymore, and so I have bumped them down to 7.
I also have them at 7. Moved down from 6. You know, they're in the lull right now. They've got the bye week. We've discussed this thoroughly, but I still feel very confident they're a top 10 team that will bounce back. Titans 7.
Well, as the late, great Ernie Banks never said, let's play 3, because I also have them at 7.
Hmm. Okay, who do you have at 8?
I kept Baltimore at 8. Or, no, moved them up to 8. I'm sorry, I had them at 9 last week. But, yeah, I have the Ravens. Still not, like, I kind of look at that team and go, they got issues, but they're hanging in there. So I kept
4 interceptions.
I know, it's amazing.
And he threw the touchdown pass that his arm was hit.
3 interceptions and 3 consecutive drives.
Yeah.
It was good for our fantasy team, Jace.
It was, but they found a way.
They keep winning. They're pesky.
Well, I moved them up from 9 to 8 as well. So I had the Ravens at 8. I mean, I can't I mean, they keep winning.
Keep doing this.
I know. They keep winning, so what am I going to do, penalize them? I mean, it's not pretty. It's not the cover of a magazine. They're not going to win any beauty contests, but they keep winning. So I move them up to 8.
I have the Bills at 8, which is the lowest I've had them. I do believe the Bills will bounce back. And the tough call was Buffalo or Baltimore because, like we were saying, Baltimore just keeps winning. But I think the Bills are a better team than Baltimore. So I still have the Bills at 8, and I have Baltimore 9. I've had Baltimore 8, 9, or 10 every week because I just can't not put them in the top 10, but I still see flaws. But you got to give them full marks.
Okay, so we just flopped. I have Ravens 8, Buffalo 9. I had
Buffalo 9.
I had Buffalo 10 last week, so I did actually move them up a spot. You did not even have Buffalo in your top 10.
Yeah, they got kicked out for a week, but we let them back in. They apologized.
You let them off the hook.
Yeah, they called and they said, "We're sorry." And we said, "Okay, you can come
back."
So
you put Buffalo at 9, you said?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so we, again, have a lot of the same stuff.
We don't do this on purpose.
2 weeks
either.
In a row. I know.
No, this isn't 2 weeks in a row. I feel like it's always this way.
Yeah, well, especially last week. Yeah, but we were like, it was crazy how almost identical they were. Okay, 10. I've got the Rams. I'm just not prepared to slide them out of the top 10. They're obviously going the wrong way. You've lost 3 in a row. It looks like something is definitely wrong with Stafford, even though they're not acting like anything is wrong with Stafford when it comes to injury or injuries. I think he's got something going on. He doesn't look the same. I don't know what that means. I think we should have asked Mike Florio about this because it's kind of it kind of cracks me up. You know, they act like you'll be penalized. We will come after you if you're not truthful on your injury report. Remember, we learned that Tom Brady was playing through strained MCL all last year, and they won the Super Bowl, and they never had him on the injury report, but yet nothing ever happened to them. And Stafford's not appearing on the injury report, but yet, it seems, I think he was on there like 4 weeks ago with a back, but he hasn't been lately. But if you watch him, something is going on, but yet the Rams aren't saying anything's going on. So I got to keep him in the top 10. But they're obviously the lowest they've been for me. They were 6 last week. They've dropped all the way down to 10.
I got the Rams at 10 as well. I had them number 1 back in week 9. They've gone from 1 to 4 to 7 to 9 to 10. So we know they're in a lull. I'm not ready to give up on them, though. I was looking for some sexy new blood, but I couldn't justify it over the Rams.
I kicked the Rams out. Kicked them out.
Oh, they were 8 last week. You kicked them out. Who's in?
They're out. I don't feel great about this.
Well, you have somebody brand new then.
I do. Well, they're making their return.
Bengals?
I've let the Bengals back into the top.
Got to look at them. Look at them. That was impressive.
2 wins in a row.
And the decisiveness of how easily they won in
the
last game.
They've
got it right, look pretty good.
Yeah, and I'll say
they have a higher ceiling.
If Burrow keeps developing the way Burrow is developing, I mean, look out. Like they do have something there.
And the guys he's throwing to. Yeah, like T. Higgins Chase went kind of off the grid for a couple weeks, but he came back with a strong game.
Yeah.
We know how good Chase is. They got weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so. So I don't feel great about it. I put them in there. I dropped Indy out because they're 6-6. I mean, I looked at
I had the Colts unofficially at 11 for two straight weeks. If they had won that game against Tampa, they would have slid into 10.
I considered the 49ers.
49ers moving up.
Because they've won 3 in a row. I'll tell you another team that I would say they're probably 12-13 right now is the way Miami's been playing, winning 4 in a row. But
that's a really intriguing one.
Bengals remaining schedule: Chargers, 49ers, at Denver, Ravens, Chiefs, at Cleveland.
No gimmies.
That's their remaining.
No gimmies.
Tough one.
Tough road.
Which means that if it plays out the way we think, it is going to play out exactly like we predicted the Bengals would be this season. Think about it. Mm-hmm. We said they're what, about a 9-8 team?
Yep.
And they're going to be right there, but fall a little bit short, and they're like 1 year away. That's exactly what we said going it. Now, you know, 9-8, they're probably going to be a little bit better than that. So actually, when you think about it, they may be better. Actually, they're probably, I'm trying to think, Chargers, 49ers, a lot of those are home games. What, 4 of the 6 are home games?
Yeah. Tell you who, you know, looking at a schedule, Miami's schedule the rest of the way. Giants, the bye week, Jets.
Yeah.
At Saints, at Titans,
ooh.
New England.
Ooh. Wow.
Darren.
Friendly.
You predicted the Dolphins to make the playoffs. This is what you foresaw, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And down the stretch they come.
They got some winnables. Now, some serious winnables.
We're going to discuss this.
Tua's playing better.
Everybody's written Tua off. Might be careful with that. I'm not so sure you can write Tua off. I know they flirted with Deshaun Watson, and, you know, that schedule, ooh, keep a close eye on Miami because they could keep stacking wins. That is very, very interesting. Okay, we'll come back and we'll wrap up the third hour on the other side. But first, a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
Well, let's tell you about Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is our phone number to remember. And all kinds of different things they can help you with. How about a renovation project? You'd be talking about renovation projects. We know right now home values are high. How about reinvesting in your home? And if you're looking for some people to help you, Lee Company's got that department. Home renovation, 615-567-1000. Or go to leecompany.com. Jump on that website and look at all the different things that they have available to you. For example, an online appointment if you've got a simple maintenance issue at your home or at work. They can come to your workplace, fix the problem. You don't have to worry about it. You can concentrate on the work you need to do to get home and then enjoy all the games you want to watch. So keep that in mind. Lee Company, an array of services. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
Our NFL game of the week this Sunday, right here on these airwaves, 3:25 kickoff, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Very interesting.
It's a big one.
Steelers are 5-5-1. The Ravens are 8-3. Ravens are a 4-point favorite. And our NFL game of the week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. That should be a good one.
I think so.
Pittsburgh is going to need to get a win. I wouldn't be surprised the old Steelers don't find a way.
Yeah, this could be a one where they pull one out.
Especially after getting boat raced last week.
You know, there's another – I just said this to Willie during the break. There's another team that's kind of like, intriguing. Washington's in the playoffs right now. The football team is in. They have they're at the Raiders this week. So at the Raiders, then the Cowboys, at Philly, at Dallas, then Philly at home, at the Giants is what they have left.
Don't love it.
Don't love it, but they've found something in Heinicke.
I said it at the beginning of the year. I said it at the very beginning of the year. I was like, this Taylor Heinicke guy can play.
Yeah.
I think in the end, I'm not sure he's going to be an every week starter in the league, but I'll just tell you right now, I think the guy's going to stick around the league for a long time.
Yeah, he's not a build your franchise around guy.
Nope, but he is solid.
Sure.
He can make a living in this league for a long time.
This is what's interesting to me, and I haven't watched them that closely. I picked them to win the division. Doesn't look so good right now. But I picked it because I thought their defense would be really good. I'm looking at Football Outsiders. Their defense is last, 31st. And they lost Chase Young for the rest of the year, and yet they're still sitting there at 5-6 and could make the playoffs. I know we're talking about a very top-heavy NFC, What was their record last year? Did they have a winning? Did they have even a 500 record? They were below 500.
No, they were in the playoffs. They lost to Tampa.
Yeah, they were in the playoffs because they were in the crappy
NFC East. They made the playoffs as an under 500 team last year.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm saying that could happen again. It could happen again this year.
It's funny to look at.
They actually hosted Tampa last year.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC
because they had won the division.
The NFC East is actually close again. Dallas has a 2-game lead on Washington right now, but I mean, Washington, Philly are 5-6, 5-7 respectively, and the Giants are 4-7.
Philly just lost to the Giants. That was a terrible loss.
I know.
If the Cowboys don't win that division, they should be pretty ashamed of themselves.
They can fire Mike McCarthy and get Lincoln Riley.
But how crazy is that? That you would have thought the only way Washington's getting in is via the division,
right?
But they have a chance at a wild card.
I mean, they are right now a wild card.
Who are the other teams?
Atlanta,
like I think for a second straight year, somebody's going to be losing record in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, it's top heavy.
If you're looking at seeds, the 8 seed would be Minnesota, then Atlanta.
Minnesota.
Then New Orleans.
Well, but there's not 8, there's 7.
No, I understand that. If you're I'm saying Which if you
in
look
the,
at
in
it
in the hunt category,
right,
always see.
On the bubble, like if you were to the first team out, if you want to put it that way, is Minnesota.
How frustrating do their fans have to be sitting there going, they must drive you crazy every week, and yet they're still right there to get into the playoffs.
Dalvin Cook being out now, moving forward.
I don't trust Cousins.
Chase Young out for the rest of the season. I mean,
it is.
You've been saying it every week, Darren. That everybody's got injuries. Somebody's got to make it.
Somebody's got to get that 7th spot. So
I had Carolina in there before the season started, and they've been awful. They don't have McCaffrey.
They're not dead, though.
5-7. They got a chance.
They're not dead. The Saints aren't dead. Falcons. I mean, who's going to get that?
The Falcons can look absolutely awful, but they're 5-6.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the 49ers. Okay, they're rising up. They're playing much better. The Rams have concerns.
I think the 49ers are going to make
the playoffs. I think so too. I mean, I think it's probably safe to say the AFC or the NFC West is going to have 3 teams in.
Looks pretty good.
And we, Darren, I think you and I had all 4 getting in.
We did.
On our predictions. I mean, Seattle's awful, but getting that last spot really in both conferences, the last spot in the AFC and the last spot in the NFC is interesting. And the thing is, they're not going to change. They've done this. They've added the extra team. But if you get a team in each conference that's not very good, either a losing record or right at it or something like that, like what does that say about maybe it's just 1 year, but you added the extra team.
I think it's a worthy question to throw out there is, and I think we threw it out there when they went to this, is are you going to get too many years where you have a team that's just really not a playoff team and not worthy of making the playoffs that's actually in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't happen in other sports, but I think the one thing
like
that
Bulls?
You...
Oh, yeah. Really?
Like the Bulls, yeah.
Well, forget that. I'm talking about even there's NHL teams and NBA teams that win less than half their games yearly and get in there because of the way they set up the field. 16 teams make it. But in football, it hasn't been accepted over a long haul. Like the wild card team, at least almost every year, is at least 9-7.
Well, here's the thing. We can bellyache about it all we want, and I do believe, yes, there's going to be many years where a team is going to be in the playoffs, and you're going, they have no business being here. But this is why it's never going to change, and it's never even going to be a discussion. You know why? Because people are going to watch no matter what.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why they don't care. I mean, and I don't – I understand why they don't care, because they will have monster ratings no matter what. It's just like all these bowl games that we bet. What we're saying is correct. There's too many bowls. There's too many meaningless bowl games. But they need programming, and people will just – they'll watch it because it's there.
Well, yeah, here's the difference.
People are watching these meaningless bowl games, and they're doing bowl pools.
Bingo.
So they're
betting on them. That's the game changer
of
getting people to watch bowl games, especially, is you can bet on them.
That's
that's what it is.
So there's going to be interest. There just is. I mean, why do you think the MAC is kind of doing their standalone Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Maction, baby.
How did that term come about, Maction? I mean, it's like bettors going, man, we got Maction tonight.
Right.
What are you talking about? It's not a night off for football. I got a loaded Max slate tonight. Come on. Let's go. And look, I'd love to know the numbers. We should probably get Alan Bell on. I don't know if he would know this. I would love to know the numbers of, you know, if you put the MAC games in on a Saturday, I would almost guarantee it they're like less than half of the betting would be less than half if it was on just Saturdays. But Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I guarantee you they have their best, you know, betting on MAC games is way, way up because of how they do their schedule. If it was just on a regular Saturday slate, you probably wouldn't see anywhere near or hardly anything on MAC games.
Darren has taken the discussion of the NFL playoff system and then turned it into betting on the MAC games. That's a big jump.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's we can bellyache about that.
Yeah, does Ricky? Did Ricky come over?
Oh, I know he knows about Maction. Come on.
Well, of course he does.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the point. Is we can say that the teams don't belong, but they don't care because people are going to watch it. People are going to bet on them, and it's going to get huge numbers, and so they don't care. It's never going to. If anything, we'll have to hope that they don't say, "Hey, let's do another round." You know, let's get more in because that's. You know, I mean, do anybody think that 17 regular season games is a good idea? No, but
no.
They don't care because it's people are going to watch. Just another thing to put out there on another week. So just more money that they're bankrolling. All right, we'll come back. Fourth and final hour of the DDC next.